Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Wisdom Chat. I'm your host, Phil Holdsworth of Aurum Gold, and my wonderful guests today are Raminta Dilliso and Kathy Wade, both from GamCare. Welcome to you both, and thank you for coming on Wisdom Chat.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Would you both like to tell us a little bit about who are GamCare? What do they do? Tell us a little bit about the organisation.
Yes, absolutely. So GamCare is the leading charity in the UK, providing information, advice and support for anyone affected by gambling harms. So not just the gamblers themselves, but family members and friends. And we operate the National Gambling Helpline, which is available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And if anyone wants to contact us, you can either visit our website, gamcare.org.uk, or call us for free on 0808 80 20 133. And we will provide confidential one-to-one information, advice and emotional support. And I would just like to add that our advisors are specifically trained and can help you change your gambling behavior. We can signpost you to other specialist services or refer you into one of our treatment teams. They're based all around the country and can offer you structured face-to-face sessions. So if you'd like more information, just visit gamcare.org.uk.
Thank you very much, Raminta. That really sort of gives us an intro into the organisation. Now, for both of you, I mean, Kathy, you're the Money Guidance Service Manager, and Raminta, you're the Financial Harm Manager. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the work that you individually do, what your roles are within the organisation?
Shall I start off telling you a little
please.
Bit about
Yes, please. Sorry, Kathy, yeah.
So I'm Kathy and I'm the manager of the Money Guidance Service. So the Money Guidance Service is a new service to GamCare. We're hoping to launch very soon. The idea of it is to provide money guidance, as the name would suggest, to gamblers and any affected others. That could be a family member or a friend. The service is for existing GamCare clients, callers, so that's anyone who's contacted us through our helpline or is accessing service through our treatment teams. And it's really to try and help gamblers and those affected by gambling to regain control of their financial situation. It is a money guidance service, so we're not providing debt advice or financial advice. We're not authorised to do that. We've basically got three pathways. The first is we're training up people who are working on our helpline and treatment teams so that they'll be able to provide a basic level of money guidance to callers or people they're working with. That's pathway one. Then we've got pathway two. We've got two practitioners who are going to be providing more in-depth support around money guidance. So perhaps completing a budget sheet, just really helping people to sort of, look at their money and their finances. The money guidance service is actually based in the treatment team. So one of the things we're really excited about is we'll be able to work with the treatment practitioners to really kind of that holistic support to clients. Pathway through is for anyone who needs debt advice. So we've got referral pathways with different providers that we can tell you a little bit about later. And then another thing that we're doing is creating an online toolkit. So there'll be online resources for people to access as well.
Wow. So there's certainly plenty to support people in this area, isn't there? How about yourself, Raminta?
So my role is to lead on GamCare's gambling-related financial harm program, which has been running for about 3 years. So in my role, I raise awareness of financial harm that gambling can cause, and I engage with different organizations across the debt advice sector, financial services, to get them a bit more proactive about gambling harms, to help them identify their clients who may have been affected by gambling, and also support organizations on their journey to address gambling amongst their clients. So for example, I've worked with banks and the debt advice sectors to build referral pathways into GamCare, and help them develop communication. So we do this by promoting best practices, but also bringing different organizations together to, for example, networking events where they can learn what other organizations are doing and learn, we can learn from each other's mistakes and maybe some successes as well. So I guess that's my role in a nutshell.
Well, thank you very much for that. I know that GAMCARE has been doing some work with the likes of PayPlan and Step Change. So I appreciate, you know, what you're saying about the money advice world. I noticed on a report that gov.uk gave out back in 21 that it was listing some of the things that impacts people as a result of gambling, and finance was clearly one of those areas. Could you give us some examples of things that you've come across within your organization?
Yeah, so I can pick this question. So financial harm is really something that we see quite a lot amongst the people who use our services. Each year, about 3 out of 4 people coming to us mention financial difficulties, and about 2/3 mention being in debt as a result of their gambling. So the numbers are really quite worrying. So someone who's struggling to control their gambling, they might look to borrow money. So borrowing is quite a big thing, borrowing money they can't afford to pay back very often, and often at high interest rates. Or perhaps they gamble with the money that was intended for household bills, rent, mortgage. And unfortunately, it's not uncommon for gamblers to steal from family or friends or commit fraud to continue to gamble. I spoke to someone just recently, and that story really stuck with me, because the person said that to continue gambling, he used overdraft, personal loans, he remortgaged, took mortgage holidays, used PayPal, credit cards, credit card balance transfer. So when he sought help, he had 21 listed creditors on his credit report. Yes. Yeah. And unfortunately, what we find that when people get in touch with us, they hit the rock bottom. They can't afford food. They can't afford their bills, even school uniforms for their kids. And they've exhausted all lines of credit. That's when they decide to reach out.
Well, if I may ask, bearing all that in mind, in terms of the extent somebody would go to continue to be able to gamble, and using all or exhausting all these avenues, as I was saying earlier, just recently I spoke to the illegal money lending team, and that was quite shocking to hear some of their stories and the types of people that they would borrow from. But one thing that really struck me was, what is it about a person that drives them, beyond what they have to actually then explore other ways, like, for example, extending their credit cards or overdrafts, or, you know, finding all these different avenues to gain further money so they can continue driving? What would you say the driver is behind all of that for them?
I think people might falsely think that they can win their money back. Very often we hear that people think, oh, I'll just place that extra bet, and if I win, I'll pay off all my debts. So money issues and money problems can be a huge driver for gambling. And it just becomes like this vicious cycle that people can't get out of. They think it's a way out, but we know that gambling is not a way to make money. And that's one of the key messages that we want to get out there. Gambling is not a way to make money.
Yeah, I know. And it's a difficult one when you see all of these adverts, particularly on an evening around sports and things like this, that really do entice people. And often I sit and watch the adverts when they're saying, gamble appropriately and safely and have fun. And I think the way it's a little bit like it's being sugarcoated, And so you can kind of appreciate how somebody might adopt that belief, oh, if I could just get this next one, and be enticed into to do more. Gambling affects the gambler, but it actually goes beyond that, doesn't it? I mean, what have you seen as an organisation in terms of the impact on the sort of wider, whether it's a family, you know, relatives, friends, communities around an individual who has found themselves caught in this area?
Yeah, you're right, Phil. So when someone's gambling goes too far, it doesn't just impact them, but also those around them, family members and friends, and we refer to them as affected others. And about one in seven people coming to GAMCA are affected others. And it can have a devastating impact, not only emotionally, but especially financially. Yeah. And especially for those who are linked to the gambler financially. About half of the affected others coming to us report being in financial difficulties. And what we often see is that family members and friends, they tend to bail out the gambler. They pay off loans or give money for everyday expenses. And we generally advise against lending or giving money to the gambler because this doesn't tackle gambling. And I know often this can come from a good place. And as a parent myself, you would do anything for your child and to make them, you know, to make their lives better. But the reality is that it doesn't really help them overcome their gambling. And in fact, it can even make it worse. You just adding fuel to the fire, really. Yeah. And when you bail them out, there's nothing to guarantee that the cycle won't repeat. So our advice is do offer emotional support, let them know about free debt advice. But if they are struggling with gambling, just make sure that you are protecting your finances and don't take on additional debt in your name to bail out the gambler.
Yeah. I know within the debt advice community, I remember oftentimes coming across couples who one of the partners would be involved in gambling and didn't want to engage with us. And it was very, very difficult to help them as a couple when one party wouldn't engage. I mean, we're looking at the cost of living crisis at the moment, aren't we? And this, like you say, this fallacy, this dream that gambling is a solution and a way out. But as you're rightly saying, it isn't. And it's just really thinking about, you know, the work that GAMCARE does. What sort of message are you trying to get out there that helps people understand that gambling isn't necessarily the solution? It isn't the solution. And in fact, actually increases and causes greater pain. What sort of things are you know, any sort of stories of things where you've been able to help people in this situation?
If I can pick up on that one, just to talk about the impact that we're seeing around the cost of living crisis. Obviously, we're really aware of the impact that the rising costs could have for those who rely on our services, and also thinking about how that will impact on people either turning to gambling as a solution or perhaps gambling more, or those who are in recovery from gambling relapsing. We haven't really seen a significant increase in calls yet, but speaking to the advisors on the National Gambling Helpline, that we are definitely hearing from people who are telling us that the cost of living is a challenge. We are monitoring this now just to sort of measure that, the impact of that moving forward. But just to sort of give some examples of the kind of things that we're hearing from our advisors. So definitely more people on welfare benefits gambling, trying to make extra money to cover their bills. But as Raminta said, they quite often end up being in a worse off situation because they think that that's the solution, and then they lose, and then they end up in a worse position than before. We're getting a lot of calls from repeat callers. So perhaps those who've previously felt that they've recovered from gambling and then they've relapsed because of the financial pressures that they've got, and then they've needed to seek more support. We've also had callers who are reporting that there's the increasing cost of really impacted on the barriers to repaying their existing debts through gambling as well. Speaking to some of our helpline advisors, they said that they often see gambling as the only way out, as Raminta was just saying. So it's really the only way out of their debt or financial situation. And we also have gamblers who say that even though they know that they've got a gambling addiction and they know it's a problem, they still think it's the only way out. So as Raminta said, it's that vicious circle. Advisors often hear callers who say that they gamble to try and get out of bad housing situations as well. So they might be living in an unsafe area. We all know how difficult it can be to get housing transfers, to move. So they could be in an area where there's high crime rate and break-ins. And so they think if they have a big win through gambling, it can help with that. But instead of that, they just find themselves in a deeper debt situation and worse off financially. And it's not only people who are receiving benefits who have difficulties. Also speak to people who are working, that who don't have the money to travel to work. It could be because they've gambled to try and raise money, but then lost everything. So again, that situation of kind of, you know, that vicious circle. The last thing I want to say on this is that just some of the helpline advisors say that they've seen a real increase in the number of safeguarding cases as well. So they've said they often speak to clients who feeling suicidal, which has generally been the case for a long time, but now also speaking to more and more clients who have no food. They might not have eaten for a few days. And I suppose our worry is that the rising prices in the shops, interest rates, affecting mortgages, rising fuel prices, all of those things are just going to cause more people to turn to gambling or to relapse where they've been in recovery.
Right. It's frightening in some respects, isn't it? You know, when you look at the situation we're all facing at the moment, but then people who have really got this belief that gambling is the way forward and it's going to be the savior of their circumstances. And it's interesting. There's two things that came to mind as you were talking there, Cathy. I was thinking one was, I remember somebody in my neighbourhood whose child, well, they weren't a child, they'd grown up, they're an adult, but they hadn't yet left home, and they'd got involved in like online gambling. And I think they were playing poker or something like this. They found that they were quite good at it and they were being quite successful. And what was interesting for me was the response of the parents. Because the parents seemed to be, because they were successful with it, the parents seemed to be like just encouraging them and promoting it, or as though it was their way of life and occupation. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that really struck me, and that was just one story that I was aware of because I knew these people. But the other thing that really struck me was, when somebody does something and they're successful with it, the buzz that it gives them, and especially if you're trying to sort of dampen pain, so, you know, lack of being able to fulfill your aspirations or struggling financially or something like, what, you know, all the challenges that we're facing in life, but being at a mass pain, and this being one of those areas when they have a win, it's the buzz that it gives them. And then you realize, you know, what's going to happen next. And that is, they're going to want to do it again. But the trouble is, the next time they do it, they have to do it more and bigger to get that same buzz. So that's those two, just interesting the story and the response of the parents. And also just trying to understand, you know, what is driving people down this route, because we will naturally think of the, like, for example, the rising cost of living and lack of money for people. But sometimes there are other things there, isn't there? I mean, what sort of things have you come across other than just the financial side?
I suppose I'll come back on two things of what you've just said there, Phil. I think the, you know, we hear that that big win, that initial big win, is something that really hooks people into gambling. Yeah. Because they have that win, and then they might not win again, but then they're chasing that big win again. Yeah. And I think the other thing is to think about, there's been some research done about with the dopamine levels.
Yes.
And there's been some research done that shows that the buzz of putting the bet on and the anticipation of winning can be just as high as the high you get when you actually win.
Yes.
So it's not even just the win, it's the buzz of waiting to see if you win.
Right.
So it is actually like an actual addiction. And I started working at GamCare in May this year, and it sounds really stupid now, but I think gambling's it's sort of like more of a hidden addiction. You tend to think of other addictions, but it's quite a hidden addiction, and you don't realize that it is an actual addiction the same as others.
And I suppose as well that you know, people can convince themselves, no, I'm in control of this. I can stop whenever I want.
Yeah.
And you recognize the patterns of behavior that says, actually, no, this is you're hooked, and you're going to find it harder and harder without help to actually stop this.
And because it is an addiction that is so easily to hide. So when you like speaking to gamblers, and they'll say that they hid it from their families, they hid it from their friends. It's so much easier to hide, especially if people are gambling online. You don't necessarily know what they're doing, so it's so much easier to hide it.
And the thing, and if I may go back a little bit as well, because it's not just you operating in isolation to everybody else who's operating out there and supporting people, and especially at times like this, but any time. You've worked with the likes of PayPlan and Step Change, and Raminta, you refer to other organizations that you've worked with, even like the banking community and so on. I mean, you know, what kind of things do you do, and what kind of organizations are you looking to work with to be able to get this message out and get this help and support to the people that need it?
Yeah, sure. Shall I start on that one?
So
as you said, we do work closely with a lot of different organizations, from the debt industry, from the credit industries. So you've given some examples. We work really closely with PayPlan and Step Change. Also Citizens Advice and Citizens Advice Scotland. We've got formal referral pathways set up with PayPlan, and we've also recently set up a referral pathway with the MAPS network, so that gives people access to Step Change, Citizens Advice and National Debt Line. We are also members of the Money Advice Liaison Group. We engage with Advice UK. We also engage with the credit industries, the banks, etc. We run regular networking events and workshops, which we've got themed discussions. We've had one focused on credit, and we've got one coming up on the 21st of November focused on debt. So I don't know, I'll hand over to Raminta, because that's more her bag.
Yeah, yes, I would just like to add, you mentioned that we work closely with financial services, and I just really want to talk about one very useful tool. So for anyone who is struggling with gambling and wants to stop, most of the banks now offer what they call a gambling block. So we've worked very closely with banks to help them deliver on this and make sure that the tool is suitable for the people who are struggling. So you simply go into your banking app or online banking, and very often they'll have a gambling block functionality somewhere under card controls. And if you can't find it, you can either search on your bank's website or give them a call, and it just blocks any gambling transaction going through your card. So that's a really useful tool. But there are other tools as well. So there are self-exclusion schemes, and the most popular one is called GamStop. So if once you register on GamStop, you will not be able to access any gambling size license here in Britain. There are also different blocking softwares that can block access to gambling websites across all the devices. So your phone, your iPad, your laptop. So we work with Gamban, which is one of the most popular blocking software, and GamStop, the self-exclusion scheme. And we recently launched a campaign with them called TalkBanStop. And because Gamban is a paid-for software, because we partnered up with them, anyone coming to GamCare, calling the helpline, can get free access to Gamban. So
right.
We give you a code, and that will make that software free for you. And we'll also refer you into GamStop, which is, like I said, a national self-exclusion scheme for online operators.
Yeah.
I'd like to add that there are other self-exclusion schemes, so people gambling in person, in betting shops, bingo halls. There are various self-exclusion schemes that would work for you. So if you visit our website, gamcare.org.uk, you'll find more information on those.
Right. That's really interesting. And whilst you were talking, Raminta, I was just thinking, so this is the assumption that an individual has decided, you know, I need help. What can I do? And these facilities are available for them. But as we've said earlier on, you know, some people sort of kind of delude themselves in thinking, I'm in control, I don't need help, or it's a hidden addiction. So what might we be able to say to those people, or to the people around them? Presumably all this is available for them, but you're dependent on the individual coming to a point of admitting they've got a problem with gambling. Is there any other scenarios? You're absolutely right.
To address this, we've also been working with banks to support them to be proactive. So when they are seeing that someone's gambling is spiraling out of control, some of the banks are looking to develop some communications to intervene before that person comes to them and says, I have a problem. Because banks are really perfectly placed to see all those gambling transactions, and they could see gambling transactions with multiple operators. So you might be, someone who's gambling problematically might be gambling with 5, 10, 15 different gambling operators. Yeah. So as a bank, you can see all of those transactions and the amount of money that is going on gambling. So some of the banks have started sending out letters to people who are gambling excessively. And I think that is something that banks and other financial services companies could do more of. Just making sure that person knows that help and support is available. And sometimes pointing out to someone that something doesn't look quite right here. Are you okay? Are you gambling outside your affordable limits, outside your budget? Can be a really good kind of indicator that they need to get help and support, because they think, oh, if my gambling, if my bank is worrying about me, is it now becoming problematic?
Yeah, it's interesting with the banks and what you said earlier on as well about the banking apps. And I use NatWest. Perhaps I shouldn't have mentioned the bank, but anyway, I have. So I use NatWest and I use their app, and it's an award-winning app. So I'm just, whilst you were talking, I know it might seem a little rude, but I was actually looking to see how easy is it for me to find the kind of help that I might be looking for. And it would take me a little while. There's quite a few things I have to go through before I get to a point where either I've got to do what you suggest, and that is talk to the bank themselves, or I've got to somehow find another avenue to find the information. And so I suppose one of the things is where banks and other financial organisations work with you, that to make it really easy for people to find the kind of helps that they may need, or how to contact somebody if they feel they need to talk to someone. So I was just having a look there, yeah.
And since you mentioned NatWest, I would just like to say that we work very closely with NatWest, and NatWest refer people into GAMCA. So if you call them up and you have a gambling problem, they can transfer you over to the National Gambling Helpline. So there's a great support out there that already exists. And the other initiative that we're running with NatWest is as GAMCA, our treatment practitioners offer gambling treatment sessions in some of NatWest branches in the south of England. So we started that before COVID. Unfortunately, we had to pause it during COVID, but it's picking up again. And I think it really helps break that stigma about gambling, because people don't want to go to an addiction clinic and where they might be spotted by someone. But if you're just walking into a NatWest branch, no one is going to think that you're getting gambling help and support there.
Yeah,
so I think it's just a really good example of how we work more closely with different sectors, different organizations to address this issue.
I know when I worked in the money and debt advice industry, one of the things that was very common is the length of time people would wait before asking for help. And when you then talked with them as to why they'd waited so long, there were all manner of reasons why, and guilt and shame and, you know, what will people think? How will this affect my family? How will this affect me? How will it affect my career? So there was lots of things came out like barriers for people actually taking that step, because it is a big step for anyone, even to walk into a banking hall and to talk to somebody to try and access these facilities. It's quite a big thing, but the encouragement has to be, doesn't it? Look, if you recognise that you have an issue here, or I suppose if you have somebody in the family who you are concerned about, then there are lots of avenues that they can go to get that help and support. Just thinking of the future, what sort of things have you got sort of planned for the future? What does the future look like for GAMCARE?
So if I can pick up on that one.
Yeah, go on, Cathy, yeah.
So obviously we're really excited that we'll be launching the new money guidance service soon this year. As I've mentioned earlier, it will be providing money guidance to gamblers and affected others, those like others who have been impacted by gambling. We're also developing our online toolkit, and that'll include a budgeting toolkit as well. So we're really excited about that. So that's just about really having that sort of online information resources available, because we're aware, like you said, people might not necessarily be ready to speak to someone. So we want to have that information available online as well. Raminta and I work closely together, and we're going to continue doing that, engaging with the credit and debt industries, just really kind of carrying on working with raising awareness of gambling issues. As Raminta said, looking at processes and procedures that could sort of help to benefit gamblers and affected others. Because obviously we identified there's a real need to continue bringing the debt, credit and gambling organisations together to ensure that gamblers and those affected by gambling get the support that they need. And we're sort of continuing to work with a range of organisations to develop those reciprocal referral processes as well. Because like you said, Phil, it's a big step for people to call. So the more we can do referrals so that they're instantly transferred over to our helpline, or, you know, they'll get a call from somebody to provide debt advice. We're aware that that's much better for them. And I suppose that our aim really is just to do all we can to help gamblers and anyone affected by gambling, just to make sure that they get the help that they need so that they can regain control of their finances and their lives. Just a reminder, as Raminta mentioned at the beginning, if anyone does need help, please, please call our National Gambling Helpline. It is a 24-hour, 365-day-a-year service. The number to call is 0808 80 20 133, or you can go to gamcare.org.uk, find details of that, but also find details of the other services we provide and how else people can access support.
That's fantastic, Cathy. And I think I do wish you all the best in terms of the launch of the Money Guidance, Money Helper side. And if there's one thing that you'd like to say to the listeners before we finish, both of you, what would it be? What would you like to say to them?
The only thing, if I could pick one, is let's normalize conversation about gambling.
Yeah.
A bit like debt, it's not something we like to talk about, but when it spirals out of control, when it becomes harmful, we just need to be there for each other. So organizations can do that through their website, through their communications, by talking to their customers about it, but also in our friend networks and in our families. Let's talk about harmful gambling, so when someone needs that help and support, they can feel that they can open up about it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Raminta. And yourself, Cathy, is anything you'd like to say as a last thing to our listeners?
Yeah, I think mine kind of goes on from Raminta's. I suppose it's just to say, just to not be afraid to reach out and ask for help. You know, things can happen to any of us. Don't be ashamed. Just reach out, and that help is there. It is available for you. You're not going to be judged. So please reach out and get that help. Or if you're working with somebody, encourage them to reach out and get that help as well.
And I can add to that as well by saying that many, many years ago, I found myself in an indebted position. I suppose, like anybody who may experience sort of gambling and gambling debt or gambling addiction, the same hurdles have to be overcome in order to reach out for help. And I can honestly say, the moment I reached out for help, that it was like a big weight lifted off my shoulder. And the wonderful thing as well, and I probably vouch yourselves also, as you were saying, Cathy, you know, no condemnation, no judgment. And that's exactly what I found, a very compassionate and very open and non-condemnatory person at the other end of the phone, who just said, I'm here to help. And to hear those words and to receive that help and support was fantastic. So I too would say to anybody who is in a very difficult position, suspects that they are, experiencing gambling addiction themselves, or know somebody and really would like some help, don't wait. Reach out now and contact GamCare. Both of you, thank you so much for coming on Wisdom Chat. Really appreciate your input. Appreciate the work that you're doing as an organisation and individually. And, and I wish you all the best in terms of the work. And more people, as you say, Raminta, it's a normalising the conversation. And it's important, I think, that we do that. So I wish you both all the very best in the work that you do. And thank you once again for being a wonderful guest on Wisdom Chat.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.